Before we will move to questions, we've got two panelists up here that I want to give a chance to quickly go through their own perspective on this. And first, I've had the pleasure for the last few years of getting to know the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and had the chance to work with Todd Scherer and his team there. And he's got a group of about 12 really dedicated, passionate people there who are working their darndest to find a cure for Parkinson's disease. But I think we've been talking a lot about risk tonight, and their story is all around risk, and I hope he's going to share just a little bit of that with you. Todd is the Vice President of Research Programs at the Michael J. Fox Foundation. He joined the foundation as Associate Director in April 2004. He has a PhD in neuroscience from the University of Virginia. We were fortunate at the foundation that we gave him a fellowship along the way so he could learn even a little bit more about Parkinson's disease. He's got 20 publications in the field of neurodegenerative medicine, Parkinson's disease. So I'm going to ask him to come up in just a few minutes and talk about that. But before they do that, I want to also introduce our second panelist tonight, and from Oxford Biosciences. Oxford is, if you don't know them, is one of the really preeminent venture capital firms here in the Boston area. Through thick and thin, they have been an investor in early stage companies, really across the board. And Doug is a great example of why they've been successful because of his fundamental knowledge of the science, but being able to put that into a business framework. I've had the pleasure to work with him on a couple of his projects, Cierna and Dicerna, and it's been great. Doug joined Oxford in 1999. He specializes in life science and technology companies. He's been involved in Dicerna, a second-generation RNAi company co-founded by Doug and some of the other people that are involved in Cierna. Ensemble Discovery, Cambrios Technologies, Zenicor, Solstice, and a variety of others. Doug has a PhD as well from the Whitehead. Your PhD is from the University of California, Berkeley, but you did research at the Whitehead right here at MIT. So with that, he's going to add some other perspectives to our discussion here tonight. So first what I'd like to do is I'm going to have them all both come up one at a time and talk a little bit about their perspectives on things, and then we'll move to questions. So first, Todd, why don't you come up and talk a little bit about the Fox Foundation?
Okay, thanks. I want to also thank the organizers and Skip for including us in this exciting symposium. And I wanted to just give a couple of comments on the role that a medical research nonprofit organization can play in this field, particularly related to kind of trying to change the risk-reward ratio for companies trying to get involved in neuroscience, particularly Parkinson's disease in our case. So the Fox Foundation was founded in 2000, so we're relatively new, and we're particularly focused solely on Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease affects over a million people in America, and it's believed to be 4 million worldwide, and that number will be increasing as the greatest risk factor for Parkinson's disease is aging, and as the population continues to age, the number of incidences of Parkinson's will increase. We conducted a survey with Skip a couple of years ago to try to assess what the market for Parkinson's disease is, to get companies interested, gauge the interest in this indication. And that research came out that particularly for disease-modifying therapy, Parkinson's is a pretty significant market in the billions of range, about $5 to $7 billion. It was mentioned earlier today that the increasing knowledge of neurodegenerative diseases is starting to gauge more interest into these indications. And that's true for Parkinson's disease. We're starting to get a better sense for the cause of the disease, which has uncovered novel therapeutic targets, particularly focused on disease modification. The existing therapies for Parkinson's, such as levodopa, has been around for a long period of time. And those only focus on the symptoms of the disease. So there is not much available now for many neurodegenerative diseases, and Parkinson's particularly for affecting the disease itself. And there are underappreciated opportunities in Parkinson's beyond the motor symptoms. So Parkinson's is mostly considered a motor disorder, but there are cognitive issues, depression, and other symptoms that are in need of treatment as well. So I just wanted to go over briefly the role the foundation thinks that we should be playing in this field to push for new and novel therapies. So this is a schematic of the drug development pipeline, and although it's drawn linearly, we do understand from what Daryl presented that this is an iterative process. But the role the foundation feels that we play is in this early stage of translational research and moving things from discovery to the clinical trials to really fill the gap of funding for this, what they call the valley of death. How do you convert discovery, early stage novel target discovery into therapeutic molecules that could be developed for treatment? The foundation's really taking a focused role, a proactive role in this area of identifying what are the promising therapeutic targets, what are the critical steps, and what value added could the foundation play? What areas should we be involved and provide a unique opportunity to advance novel therapies? And particularly the philosophy in this is to de-risk later investment. So to get therapies to the stage where VCs or pharmaceutical companies or biotech companies will be interested to put their own money behind some of these approaches to move them forward. So to change that equation for companies, and that's where we feel the funding from the foundation can play an important role. So what are the hallmarks of our approach? So again, our main role we feel is to absorb risk and make investments that others will not, address gaps and roadblocks that are impeding progress. So this is a unique role that we feel that we should play, and we're willing to take that risk that maybe other funders are not. We do take a portfolio approach. Our main interest is in developing new treatments and a cure for Parkinson's disease patients. So we're pretty agnostic to what the individual therapeutic approach or hypothesis is. We're willing to pursue multiple paths simultaneously. And again, we have an openness for the same reason. All players are welcome. We support and interact with industry, with academics. We have about 30% of our grants are overseas for international awardees. But we do require that all grantees, whether they're from academia or industry, to commit to milestones and deliverables. What will we actually gain from this partnership? How do we move a therapeutic approach or a hypothesis forward towards the clinic? We're just like being open to all ideas. We enforce out-of-the-box thinking. We don't have a set way of things have to be done. We have non-traditional granting structures and ways of funding research and making partnerships with biotech and pharmaceutical companies. We feel that funding itself is not the only asset the foundation brings. As Skip mentioned, we have a team that monitors about 200 active Parkinson's disease grants right now, and we receive between 500 and 700 different proposals on Parkinson's disease a year. So we have a very good sense of what's going on in the field, what are the fundamental roadblocks and challenges that the field is facing. And we provide that expertise and insight with our partners. So not only do we give a funding relationship with the company, we help them identify collaborators and get access to resources that they may not know about, that the foundation knows through our collaborations with other researchers. We also, as I said, keep the patient perspective at the heart of what we do and the core of what we do. So we're always looking to see what is the implications of these research. We're not interested in supporting science for science sake. So this is just a general overview of the approach the foundation takes. We have two main approaches. One is what we call our pipeline programs. These are opportunities at various stages of the drug development pipeline, where we're open to applications from anyone in the world that has a good idea, whether they be a company or an academic researcher. And we're interested in supporting the project at the right stage of its development. Where is the next step that this project is in pushing forward? We also have some priority topics that the foundation has identified that are led by foundation staff to really make progress on certain areas. So we have identified some therapeutic targets and some symptoms, as well as critical roadblocks like animal models and biomarkers that have been referred to here that will ease the case for developing any treatments, whatever their particular hypotheses. So just to end, I wanted to give some examples of where we feel we're playing a role to de-risk the field for industry investments. So as Chris mentioned, we provide non-diluted grants to industry, so non-diluted funding that could either improve the quality of ongoing Parkinson's disease research or provide the incentive for someone, a company that has a platform technology, to actually apply that to Parkinson's disease. We also will provide additional funding for clinical studies. A lot of times companies will plan the clinical study to the budget and not to the science. So if there's a promising approach and it's in the clinic, we will provide additional funding to make sure that study can be optimized. We are playing a major role in facilitating the development of critical tools and resources. So these are things, again, like animal models or biomarkers or drug delivery across the blood-brain barrier that are fundamental challenges into the field that maybe one company itself doesn't, you know, isn't motivated to develop a whole lot of resources to develop the perfect animal model that'll help everybody. But this is something that the foundation feels, as a neutral convener, a neutral voice, should really spearhead and get everyone together towards the common good in kind of pre-competitive tool generation. And we've also stimulated specific research areas and enabled partnerships. And this is a little bit on the other side of it, where we've developed relationships with companies that have provided funding through the foundation to research grants. And we've done a collaboration with Elan Pharmaceuticals to try to identify novel approaches for disease-modifying therapies, and with Merck Serono to try to stimulate research in cognitive and mood disorders. And these are programs that were are funded by the pharmaceutical companies through the foundation. In addition to the funding, we do, again, think we can play a role in field leadership. One of the main things we try to bring to the table is a neutral convener. So we're not trying to push a particular project or particular product through. So, for example, we hosted a meeting earlier this year with the FDA to set standards on how to go about doing disease-modifying treatments for Parkinson's disease. And that may be something that would have been difficult for an individual company to do, but the foundation, speaking for the voice of the patient, was able to coordinate that meeting. And we also have very specific workshops on critical roadblock areas as well. We feel that one of our roles is to promote handoffs and move things between and promote collaborations. We have an annual therapeutics conference where we have some of our leading researchers, promising projects, present to an audience of VC, biotech, and pharmaceutical companies. And the goal is to try to get some of those handoffs and collaborations to happen on promising technologies. So I just wanted to kind of give a sense for the role that a nonprofit medical research foundation can play, particularly to try to change this risk-reward portfolio for balance for companies and to get people involved earlier in the stage of development than they may normally with more traditional senses of funding. Thank you.